Man, I can't wait to get this show on the road. Kevin!
Yes, sir.
I missed you, brother.
I missed you too, man.
I just want to let you know that Happy New Year to everyone too, man. We're kicking off 2023 and it's been some ups and some downs. We got a year in review. We're going to have the rest of the month of January to talk about because there's so much we ain't going to be able to do it in 1-2 hour show along with everything else. But we got some ups and some downs to talk about, man. First and foremost, Roma, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Can't complain.
All right, good. Kevin doing great. Roma doing great. I missed y'all too. We gonna have a great day today. But one of the main things why we gonna have a great day today is the recovery process of Mr. DeMar Hamlin, safety for the Buffalo Bills, that, you know, he collapsed on the field after making a hit Monday Night Football, Bills versus Bengals, game got called off. Guys, talk to me. Kevin.
Yeah, man.
Let me know what's going on, man.
At the time when it happened, I didn't see it live. I was watching Monday Night Raw. As I usually do, I usually flip back and forth. When I saw on the phone that the game was delayed, my first thought was it may have been a weather-related situation. Right. So I go there, you know, I scroll through statuses, and I'm seeing other people, you know, talking about, you know, them all, you know, pray for number three and all, and I'm thinking, what is going on? I turn to the TV, and I see the Bills huddling around near the 50-yard line. And I'm sitting here like, what is going on? And once, you know, trying to get through this whole thing, processing this in your mind after everything that's happened, I can't put into words. It was very, very scary to see when I finally saw the actual play. And it didn't look like it was a big hit at the time. But when he stood up and then collapsed, that's when everything looked different. I even watched up to 11 o'clock on SportsCenter with, also, I gotta give a shout out to Scott Van Pelt and Ryan Clark. Those two men are the true MVPs. These guys, man, I mean, they were, you know, trying to process everything through the whole situation. And it is like the hardest thing they had to do. You know, they brought a lot to the table, as they do all the time. I'm trying to, you know, putting things into perspective and trying to talk to people. You know, the main thing is we have to have conversations with people that have played the game and trying to talk to them about, you know, get their perspective on what happened. Because, like I said, I never played a down of football. These guys have. And that's why that, to me, I think when I say, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I was depressed, man. If I wasn't able to get out here today and talk to everybody, you know, and listen to what they were going through and processing what their minds were going through, I wouldn't know why I'd be. So I would say I'm totally grateful for everything around it. Grateful for you guys personally. You know, like I said, man, y'all have no idea how much this meant to me. But anyway, yeah, but it's like, I mean, it's been a very scary week. And we're still trying to process everything, but everything is slowly looking up. So I'm definitely grateful for that.
Yeah, Roma.
Yeah.
So what did you see Monday night?
Well, I wasn't watching the game, and I was somewhere everywhere like Monday night throughout the TV. But when I was scrolling down Facebook and I seen the hit, I was like, okay, he took the grunt of the hit or the tackle. It looked, hey, that jump was real, real serious the way that hit. I seen the hit in my own look of it. But when he got up, stood up and fell and passed out, I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
That's real. Yeah, that
was, I was like, that's crazy. And then, you know, then I scroll back down, looking. It was like he was unconscious for like 10 minutes. So I was like, bad. So it's like, he died on the field. And to be 10 minutes without oxygen to the brain is a long time, but that was God's will to even for them to be able to resuscitate him. And he doing better. But yeah, that was crazy. But I think it worked out for the best and seeing God's will prevail. But yeah, to watch it and to know what happened, that is kind of scary. It's like a 1 in a million chance of something like that actually happening to somebody. But yeah, scary.
I was in shock because just like I had a pretty rough week because in my line of profession, you know, my line of work, I sometimes have things called on-call shifts. So I was working late and I was just getting home, getting my after work life together, you know, getting showering up, getting our clothes off and putting on pajamas and, you know, fixing dinner, things of that nature, getting ready to settle down. And I'm on the phone with my better half, and she's telling me that, you know, they called the game. I mean, the game was delayed. I was like, it's raining in Cincinnati? Yeah, I thought it was like a weather delay or equipment delay. That's like, no, somebody got seriously hurt. And I was sharing with my guys, I got Sling TV. Until we get, until I start making some more money, I gotta, you know, ball on the budget like everybody else. So my Sling TV, I had to reset that because I don't buy both packages. It's by one side. So one side you get ESPN, the other side you get Fox. So I gotta switch from Fox to ESPN to say the least, and it takes you about 5-10 minutes. So by the time I got to the screen, I just seen guys kneeling around praying and they hauled off and the ambulance was driving off the field. So I Googled what happened and I saw everything real time, slow motion, and I immediately began to pray. Now, all hits in the NFL, I deem vicious. I've seen guys' careers end on non-contact injuries. We've all seen it. You run that risk when you go out there on the field, but it's always something you never want to see. And I pray to God that we never see nothing like that again. But the biggest takeaway I got from that, outside of no play is promised, is the phenomenal job that the medical team, the first responders team, the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, the job that they did bringing this young man's life back. Not once, but twice. Cause they revived him on the field, but once they got him off in the ambulance and once they had, and got him in the emergency room, I was told they had to revive him again. So the job that they're done and they're continuing to do, cause he's still in critical care, but the feed tube is out of his mouth each day from yesterday to today, he has made significant progress. And he still got a long ways to go, but he's responsive now. And everything, the main thing that I got from the medical report is that his brain and his heart is neurologically intact. That's the big part of the recovery process. So everything has been going the way we thought it. I mean, we was praying it would be. Our prayers have been answered. Again, the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, the first responders, the training staff on the for the Cincinnati Bengals, they get a lot of kudos this week. Let's just be honest. Not just in football, we are very critical of the medical teams over the years. We always rake them through the coals. We always blame them for wins and losses. They get a lot of undeserved smoke over the years, especially this year with the concussion fiasco that two of the Miami Dolphins are going through. We throw the medical team. They're like one of the first things to go under the bus when we lose. It's either the coaching or the medical staff because somebody wasn't hurt, wasn't well enough to play. We always give that to them. So now they came through this time.
Yeah, because you see what happened to Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, and rightfully so, we raked them through the coals. So they came through. They showed out. They showed up, and they did their job. So they deserve just the same amount of praise. They gonna get their roses from us today. So hats off to those guys. Thank God for them. I wish we had more.
Right.
I wish we had more. And since we talked about DeMar Hamlin, we're not gonna switch gears totally. Cause something came out of that we gotta chop it up about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, right after that vicious hit, you know, one of our, colleagues in the media, you know, Mr. One Skip Bayless made a tweet right after that hit. I'm gonna bring this tweet up, but guys, that tweet kind of sparked up a lot of controversy, would you say, especially on their show Skip and Shannon Undisputed. So give me your take on what's going on right now.
You know what?
As I bring this tweet up.
You know what? It's funny you happen to ask that, because that generated a lot of talk. And I never record any morning shows like First Take, Undisputed, but that one truly piqued my interest. This would be the one time I would actually record the show just to see if Shannon was going to show up, because I just knew Shannon's going to walk the dog on him. So when I, you know, like I said, it was a long week for myself also. So I get home but I've seen, you know, our boy Rev, and like, he's one of the first ones to, you know, to point out things, man. Cause like I say, he comes through for us every single day. Whenever that me and Mel are not around or not able to get to our phones or not able to catch things, Rev always comes through every single time. And he mentioned something about, well, Shannon didn't come in, you know, he looked nervous riding solo. So, and there's a lot of rumor mills going around, like, you know, why Shannon didn't show up. But, you know, people who have followed, you know, as far as, you know, them two go, they haven't been getting along for a while. And rumor mill may have it that Shannon might end up leaving if this keeps up. Because Skip has crossed the line one too many times. So, and the crazy thing is, you know, he's been in like toxic situations where, you know, not only Shannon, but Stephen A, when they were on First Take together, that was why they had to split then. So now with Skip and Shannon's not done one no parts of it, because it's like, he's just plain tired of Skip's antics and the disrespect that, you know, he's been getting. So, but like I said, man, it got very interesting, to say the least.
Now, Roma.
Yeah.
I saw the backlash. I saw a clip of the show the very next day. What do you think of it?
It was blatant disrespect. He felt like he could pull a power trip on Shannon when Shannon was talking about how he felt about the tweet and everything. Because you got to look at it from, some people might look at it from Skip Bayless' point of view, because we all know he ain't never played no professional sports, so he might be speaking on what is from just a fan's point of view. But Shannon actually played the sport and was speaking from a player's point of view, and how serious of the nature of the incident was. And Skip showed that he didn't care about how serious the nature of the incident was. All he worried about is being on the show and getting his paycheck.
Absolutely. And I'm going to read this tweet by Skip Bayless. No doubt the NFL is considering postponing the game, but how? This late in the season, game of this magnitude is crucial to the regular season outcome. which suddenly seems so irrelevant. Now, I'm going to give you my take on this. And there's nothing wrong with what Skip Bayless said. Well, everything that Skip Bayless said is 100% in bounds. And judging by years past, I mean, there's nothing disrespectful about the situation. Every question is a question that needs to be answered. The only problem with it is it was just at the wrong time. There was a wrong time to answer this question because in a day of social media and national live TV coverage, no one has ever seen, the world has never seen a human being die on the field, which is what we saw. Let's just call it what it is. They said the man went into cardiac arrest. He had to be revived not once, not twice. So that means he died twice. The world's never seen that before. And the world of show business, this is where what Skip Bayless says is in bounds. This is where it says it is in bounds. Like it or not, we're not in where we're playing a sport, whether we're talking about it, tweeting about it, making any kind of irrational decisions about it. At the end of the day, this is still called show business. And in show business, the show must go on. But I am glad that the NFL made the world stop and acknowledge this, and acknowledge what's going on. And I am glad that the first responders and the medical team and the University of Cincinnati Medical Center made the world spin around again. Mark, we got the Boston Guru Mark Daniels on. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Good, man. We're chopping up about this, the Buffalo Bills, Cincinnati, game and the status of DeMar Hamlin, who was doing much, much better now. He is talking. He has a feeding tube out of his mouth. He has interacted with friends, family, and him and his teammates can't wait to see each other again. But Mark, how you feeling? And give us your thoughts on the whole situation.
You know, initially, you know, I'm gonna be honest. I thought, you know, when things first occurred, I thought it was a freak accident. And every now and then that freak accident can happen. It was just, hey, the way they collided, it was just a perfect, I hate to say it, but it was a perfect hit. Once that young man was down on the field for a certain period of time where CPR had to be administered and things of that nature, I said, man, he's in trouble. Thank goodness. And being back from that area, I always criticize Cincinnati, saying it's in the country, it's in Kentucky, whatever. But I got to give a heap of praise out to them. I mean, their medical staff, their hospital staff kept this young man alive. Gave him obviously the best care he could have possibly had. And my thoughts were that first day, I was just praying that he pulled through. By the second day, you know, kind of sitting, I said, maybe his body is just in shock and it's needing time to get itself back in rhythm. Obviously that, you know, that became the case where he started, you know, coming around. He's FaceTime with his team, his family, from the Pittsburgh area was able to be down there with him. He's had some of support. Again, you know, Cincinnati Bengals have been a class organization. I mean, the coach's wife had, you know, was getting meals, you know, to the people that were there. They had cars. They had fans outside the hospital. I mean, it's just been phenomenal for this young man to be able to, it seemed like he's on the road to recovery. Takes us to a higher praise of what, you know, what the man upstairs has in store for you. At this point, like I said, it put the whole world on notice. I've never encountered anything like this, seen anything like this. And in the, you know, being a big fan of boxing, it's going to sound crazy, but I've seen two young men die in the ring in my lifetime. But it's going to sound bizarre, but I've never seen anything like this. I'm just praying that, you know, this young man, they say he may be able to be home this weekend. I'm kind of on the cautious side of, hey, man, look, don't rush it. Stay in there until you're, you know, until everything is okay. You know, it's just the power of God that pulled this young man through. And like I said, the phenomenal team down in Cincinnati and Buffalo that took care of this young man, and the outpouring of love from everybody, especially he had a GoFundMe page. I think his goal was like $2,500 and it's into the millions now, for a charity he had. And, you know, also, you know, I also feel for T. Higgins because hey, a guy's getting ready to hit him. He prepared himself for that hit. And, you know, in the back of his mind, I'm pretty sure he didn't think, man, this collision here is going to actually almost end somebody's life. And, you know, you got to think about how that plays in his head. He's still a young man, 23 years old. You know, I look from every aspect, you know, we're parents, just imagining, you know, you Pittsburgh from Cincinnati is maybe a 3-hour ride. You're going down to see your child, cousin, whoever it may be, to play. And you end up being in a lot of, from what I've heard from a couple of friends of mine, it's from up in the Keysport area of Pittsburgh, had a big family gathering watching that game. And for them to have to sit and see that and get from a point of joy to, man, we got to load up in the car to get to Cincinnati fast as possible. We're just praying that he's still here when we get there. A lot of people don't know that young man was from, when he's in a hospital, I mean, he's still in the hospital, but they had him laying on his stomach. He wasn't on his back. Once he's in that hospital, he's on his stomach because he did suffer some lung damage from what I understand. And the key to that was they didn't want his lungs to start clotting and creating even more issues. It got to a point for me where it wasn't about even football anymore. It was about human life.
Right.
And, you know, I think what people tend to forget when you play football is that every week we take it for granted all the games coming on Saturday and Sunday. And yes, they do get compensated well. But at any time, with it being such a violent sport, a life can be totally changed or it can end. And we saw that on Ham Monday. You know, people start wondering about, oh man, are they going to continue the game? There's no way humanly possible.
Right.
That was going to occur. The only thing I will say of saying the negative is that, you know, they said the AFC Championship game will be played in a neutral site. However they decide to make this game, in my opinion, at this point, I guess it would just be a no contest, no win, no loss, no nothing. It is what it is. It's almost like it didn't exist. The only thing I will say on the negative is that, you know, they're saying the AFC Championship game is going to be at a neutral site. Well, that screws a team like Kansas City.
Right. I mean, this playoff implication, this game is just so pivotal because I'm not even thinking about where the AFC Championship game is going to be played. Who's getting the bye?
That's the problem. That's the problem. I don't mean to cut you. That's the problem. And I'll be honest. I don't even know how you prepare for it. I mean, how you come to a conclusion on that. And I know the NFL is prepared for a lot of things. I don't think they was prepared for this.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can be. There's no winners in this situation, unfortunately. A young man's life was almost lost, and I would think to a point his career probably ended.
I gotta disagree with you on that one, Mark, because again, I'm gonna drill this in all show long. There are some winners in this. Cause when Damar Hamlin opened up his eyes and started communicating, Damar Hamlin asked the question, did we win the game?
Oh, no, I agree with you. Yeah.
Doctor said, no, you won the game of life. Yeah, today, Damar Hamlin's a winner, and the medical staff and all the first responders, they're winners today. Cause like I said.
No. On that standpoint, I'm 100% with you. And what I mean by that when I say there's no winners, as far as how they're going to do the scheduling.
Oh, yeah. And then if, yeah,
I don't think there's a winner in that because somebody going to get screwed. Jacksonville is actually getting it tonight. They shouldn't be playing this. I mean, they shouldn't be playing tonight. I mean, I know a day may not seem like a big deal, but they shouldn't be playing tonight.
Why is it? Because I think the winner goes on, and the loser goes on. Nah, I get it. They playing Tennessee. Tennessee does not have a quarterback. We're going to get into that later. We're going to get into that when we talk about our picks. But, I don't want nobody thinking that there's no winners, there's no losers. The medical staff gets all the love and praise today. And yes, the AFC is going to be a wash. It's going to be a mess. We're going to talk about that. I don't want to get too further in depth to that right yet, Mark, because we're going to cover all that, everything beyond the way this is going. We're going to cover that in about another half hour, 45 minutes. I want your thoughts right now on the tweet Skip Bayless put out and how you think this is going to play out with him and Shannon Sharpe. Mark, unmute your mic.
Go ahead now. What you say, Mill?
Yeah. The way this conversation was going, we're gonna talk about that another half hour, 45 minutes when we get into our picks. But I want you to get. What did you have to say about the tweet that Skip Bayless put out and the fallout between him and Shannon Sharpe?
I think he was going off of, I think at that point he was going off of emotion. I don't think he even realized the severity of this. But when situations like that occur, you know, being in the media, you have to be careful because you can't just think about, I mean, I understand what you're saying from the business aspect, but at this point, life is hanging by a thread. I don't think his intentions was to dehumanize that. I just don't think he's that type of guy. There's stuff I agree with and disagree with him. I watch their show every day. I don't think that was his intentions, but what people have to realize is that Shannon is a player and he was a part of a brotherhood. And you can't, you know, this had been boiling up for a while. Skip really, I will say, belittled him several weeks ago with a Tom Brady situation. I think he was speaking on.
Yeah, but he does that.
Yeah, I think Shannon. In Shannon's eyes, insensitivity that came along with this situation, he had just had enough. I also feel that, to be honest with you, he was traumatized by it, and I really don't think. To some point, people look at it differently. To some point, I don't think Shannon wanted to be in a position to really have to comment on that situation because he didn't want to actually come out and say the wrong thing or speak on an emotion where his mindset is not even there. Skip has to be careful because you got a lot of people that's pissed off at you right now behind that. Yeah. I don't think his intentions was to be hateful. I just think he was ignorant in the moment.
Yeah, I just said, you know, it was just the wrong time. It was just the wrong time to say that. I have nothing wrong with the tweet itself. I have no problem with where the angle where Skip was coming from. But at that moment right there, it was just way too soon to be asking those questions and making those. And talking about what's going forward with the game. The world had just stopped. You have to stop with it. So, I think at the end of the day, the money is the root of all evil. And I think Skip and Shannon will find a way to get back into the groove. Cause right now the whole show by itself is just not, it's just the chemistry is just not there. Now, the reason why I say that they'll find a way to get back into the groove is because at the end of the day, they are professionals. They are getting paid a lot of money. And they're gonna work this out. They're gonna work this out somehow, some way. It's just those last couple of shows, I could just see that the energy is not there. The energy is off. The chemistry is off. But if it wasn't going to work, Shannon Sharp would have never came back. If it wasn't going to work, he would have not come back. So the fact that he did come back and he's still, still making a show out of it, they're gonna work themselves through it. Cause let's just be honest. It's all about, at the end of the day, different points of views. It's not like they did anything, there was no physical altercation. There was no Draymond Green, Jordan Poole type situation. You see what I'm saying? Everybody would love to see that though. Let's keep it 1,000. Everybody love for Shannon to be Draymond and Skip Bayless to be Jordan Poole.
Versus battle.
Right. Everybody would love to see that, but no, it's not that type of situation. So at the end of the day, they're all colleagues. They're all friends. They're not going to have the same opinions about everything. So they're going to work this thing out. And speaking of working things out, and Mr. Boxing Guru, Mr. Mark Danes, I am so glad you're here, because one more guy we got to rake through the coals. Yeah, see, over New Year's Eve, TMZ and a lot of other people caught some footage of one UFC president, Mr. Dana White, getting into it with his wife and having a little slapperazzi. Yeah, it was slapperazzi on New Year's Eve. I mean, she swung, he swung. Everybody's apologizing now and trying to save face. The whole scenario, this never happened before. It's totally out of character, yada, yada, yada. Whatever, we saw what we saw. And you have to deal with it and answer these questions. I get it. Families fight. At some point in time, everybody has a little bit too much to drink. First time occurrences happen all the time. I get all that. However, Dana White, back when the whole Ray Rice situation, had a lot to say about how things like this should be handled. And I'm going to go back to a quote that he says. One thing, and this is quote Dana White, these are his words back when the whole Ray Rice situation popped off. He said, there's one thing that you can never bounce back from, and that is putting your hands on a woman. It's been in that way in the UFC since it started here. You don't bounce back from putting your hands on a woman. And he doubled down and went a little bit further, said, this is a tough one. He said this on Fox Sports Live. First of all, the video is horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. You're talking about a guy who's been in the fight business since he was 19 years old, and the most disturbing thing you'll ever see is the thing that is just as bad as the punch, that he shows no remorse after he does it. You did something in anger, you go, oh my God, what did I do? There's none of that with this guy. And he just goes on and pretty much says he wish he was not in Roger Goodell's shoes to judge this. And as we all well know, Ray Rice never played a down of football in the NFL ever again. Never got another contract, phone call. The agents fired him after that, so he had a lot to say back then. So now, as we all know, what goes around comes around. Turnabout is fair play. Now we got you on video slapping up your wife. So we've seen Dana White being critical of UFC fighters. We've seen him be critical. He's just critical of an NFL player. This type of stuff is not going to fly anywhere else. Things like the owners, NBA, NFL, they get caught under this kind of scrutiny, they might be subject to sell their team. No one is going to be above domestic violence, and that's the precedent that has to be set. So I'm going to get Mark's take on this, but I just want everybody to know that Dana White is the president of the UFC. He is not the owner of the UFC. The The UFC is owned by a group. I think it's called Endeavor Sports. They're worth by like $15 billion, I believe. Mm. So my question to you guys is there any, do you think, see any kind of punishment handed down, coming Dana White's way? If not, when, where, why? Help me out with this. Mark. Mark, unmute your mic.
Say it again, Neil.
Dana White's situation. Do you think he's going to face any kind of punishment? Tell me what you know.
I mean, I think he does. Say, give me 1 second, Mill. Just 1 second. I got a situation here. My
home. All
right, I'll be right back, and I'll chime right back in.
All right, I'm gonna pass this over to my man, Mr. Romar Smith.
It need to be something done because I mean, if you can speak on another man's situation from what he done, and you just basically contradicted yourself by doing the same thing, and if it ain't no punishment by the UFC, then it's just terrible on their part as a brand and a corporation.
Yeah, you see, you stripped John Jones for the belt over his antics, his actions. You have fired, not renewed on UFC fighters' contract for things from domestic violence to PED use to just probably lack of production, which is fair. So, Kevin.
Yeah, man.
What do you think about this whole situation?
You know, it's crazy how, I guess, when you have a title like that and you think you could be above anything. But then again, like you said, you know, karma, man, rears his ugly head. But what I think what really got me was I saw something that said this one, considering everything that's going on, it got less heat than a Chris Rock, Will Smith situation. You know, with the whole slap fest thing going on. So, So, I mean.
And Chad Wheeler, but we gonna dive into that.
But it's like, I mean, you think that, you have a title, like a president or something. Oh, I can be above everybody. No, that don't always work like that. So.
Yeah, my thing is this. I think Dana White either needs to step down or take a lengthy leave of absence. There's gotta be some kind of punishment. It has to be a year long. I don't care if it's indefinite. Whatever. He has to step away from the UFC. He cannot be the face of a franchise. He cannot be the face of any brand right now when we have this kind of thing going. You have to walk away, spend time with your family, you know, work everything out with them. Take plenty of time to get that situated. And then come back after a year. So it has to be a year. It has to be. I'm not talking about 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. It can't be no Dan Snyder situation where he's away from the team, but he's really not away from the team. You know, it can't be that. And I'm not saying that to pick on Washington, but we all know what it is. The hammer has to come down. When I was in the military, they said this: the senior you get, the more severe the punishment. The structure has to be that way. The bigger, the longer you've been here, the bigger you are, the more responsibilities that you have, the more you should know better. That's how it should be. So when the higher ups get there, their punishment should be more severe because they're the ones that know better. They're the ones handing out punishments to, you know, down to the lower tier. And what kind of precedent are you setting if you let this go unscathed? You gotta be the president, you gotta run everything, then you rule the world. I thought this was democracy, not a dictatorship. So that's where I'm at with that. Dana gotta go. Dana's gotta go. I love the UFC. I got nothing but love and respect for what Dana White has done with this brand, with this sport. I give him all the kudos I give him all the accolades and that he gets all the props. But at the same token, this 100% unequivocally cannot be tolerated at all. No point blank period. The message has to be sent. This cannot go on. And guess what else is going on?
What's that?
You know, we talked about, you know, DeMar Hamlin and, you know, again, thoughts and prayers going out to him and his family as he continues his recovery. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Studio W Sports page. I'm your host, Mr. Your main man, Mill, Kevin Harris, Romar Smith, Ryan Shaka, old man, and we are brought to you by J&J Sports Apparel, 3302 Williamsburg Road. Go down there, get yourself a jersey, some car masks. They even got shower curtains.
What?
Yes, they got team color shower curtains, y'all.
Uh-oh.
Team color shower curtains. You can hang up your favorite football team in your bathroom. They got the bath mat. They got the floor mat. My dad got my sister one for Christmas. That's how I know she got a Pittsburgh Steelers one. I know her husband, Mr. Aaron Turner. Ain't too happy with that, but hey, that's their house, so they can run the way they want to. But yes, they even got, now nothing distracts you from the fact that they're getting their football accessory game up. They got shot glasses. They got ink pens. They got, like I said, floor mats, car floor mats and bathroom floor mats. They got rugs. I went and got me a Philadelphia Eagles man cave floor rug. I got that up in my room. You know what I'm saying? That jump pretty nice. Sets it off real nice. Y'all see it later. But anyway, J&J, y'all go down there, holler at your boys. They got you. They got some crazy sales. Who knows what you'll find in there, but you'll find it in your team colors. That's the point. They got their stuff together, man. So you tell my guy Jamil Naeem, you know, Studio W sent you. But back to this, Monday night also something happened. Cause you know, that tragedy also, that was a tragic event. Horrifying. Never want to see it again. But everyone's focused on that. Y'all didn't know that Donovan Mitchell dropped 71 that night, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. And got tested the next day.
The whole team did.
Dropped 71. No coverage almost.
Nah.
Everybody's thoughts and prayers was out to DeMar Hamlin. Yeah. And yes, those first responders, hats off to you. Y'all getting y'all roses all show long. I'm telling you that right now. We halfway through it. And I ain't even done giving y'all praise. But y'all get it today, because any other day, hey, we letting medical staffs have it around this joint. We'd be letting them have it around here, but today y'all get it. But yeah, Donovan Mitchell. See, I knew once he went to the Cavs was going to be a problem. Right now, they're the dark horse in the East. Everybody's talking about Boston and Brooklyn. And Brooklyn is balling. Give them their props. Boston, Brooklyn, they're not talking so much Miami and Philly, but they are still talking about that. But no one's talking about how Cleveland is getting there and getting the job done.
Regular season.
Yes, regular season.
Okay, but doesn't show up in the playoffs.
That's the bigger question.
Donovan Mitchell, he goes away in the playoffs. He done had, for as much as you hate the Utah Jazz, he was the Utah Jazz. He got them there every year, and then goes dark when it comes to the playoffs. It's easy. All right,
I give you that. I give you that.
You in the history books for that good 71-point regular season game. But if you don't get with 71 points, if you don't get higher than the 4th seed in the East, and don't reach the at least the Eastern Conference Finals, it's for nothing.
Yeah, I understand that, but yeah, I've been saying they need to break that up. In Utah, they was good, but they would never be great. This seat, well, now he's gone. He different change of scenery, different set of teammates. We'll see. I really can't make the point I really want to make, because you're absolutely right. It still all depends on down to the postseason, but Let's see how this team chemistry is going to be. But for right now, yeah, no one's still talking about them. And this is a team, like you said, a regular season. You got to get to the postseason.
You know what else ain't nobody talking about?
Who's that?
The comments about Myles Garrett.
Oh yeah, I happened to find out last night.
About how Clowney feels about how Myles Garrett get, they're going to get Myles Garrett to the Hall of Fame, and he's not going to, he doesn't like the treatment. He doesn't feel that he gets the same respect.
And yes, I did see that. I did see that last night. He got sent home by the team because there was a comment he made on their local sports radio network saying he sees like 95%. This might be his last season.
Oh no, 95% sure he's not resigned.
Yeah, 95% sure that he will not be with the Cleveland Browns. That's not something you say during the regular season, yet alone at all. you really just cleaned out your locker room by even putting that out there right now.
I mean, but
and what job does that fly?
But I mean, but the shade of it all. I mean,
he wants the respect because of the name. That's on the back of his jersey. You don't do what Myles Garrett does on the field.
Yeah, but you want respect for the name on the back of the jersey. You're getting the respect that you got for the name on the back of the jersey. All your entire NFL career, you had never had a 10-digit sack season.
You're going to always be remarkable for the hits you made in college football.
It's never transferred to the NFL.
Yeah, but to his point, he is getting the treatment they deserve. So what's the problem?
if you look at the stat line, let's take this season alone, Roma. Garrett has had, 15 sacks? And Clowney's only had 2. So what does that tell you?
He ain't have that. he's been doing what he's supposed to been doing. He's a great disappearing act. He was in Houston on the other side of Watt and couldn't get 10 sacks.
Back. Never had a 10-sack season in his career.
Exactly.
In his career. Now, I'm not saying nothing away from the talent because he's pretty decent in run support, things of that nature, but for the most part, we call spades around here. He's been taking money. Name one contract that he has earned fully.
He's Albert Haynesworth. He's still the Albert Haynesworth.
Albert Haynesworth 2.0.
Show me where the juice is worth the squeeze when signing to Davion Clowney. Well, I'm waiting. I'll be waiting for that one. Matter of fact, y'all can get back to me next week on that. could be a homework assignment.
All you got to do is just take the last name by itself. I mean, that's all you really need to know because his performance has been like his last name. Clowney.
Yeah. That can go either way, but right now it's going the bad way. It's not going in that way.
Well, you know they like to sit players down. This is a time of the year where owners sit some players down to make sure they don't reach that incentive that they got to give them too.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So you with them comments might have cost you a few bucks on your salary this year.
Absolutely. Man, it's 10:05 already.
And let's talk about how Ron Rivera didn't know that. Losing that game.
Okay, we got into the NFL. Oh, yeah. All right. So, this is I like the way this is going. I really do. Mm-hmm. I really do.
And I respect Brian Mitchell for what he said on their little show. You know, let's stop covering it up. Let's stop dressing up the garbage by calling it trash. And I'm a Washington, I'm a Commanders fan, and yes, it is garbage, pure D garbage. It almost smells worse than Southside.
Mm. Wow.
And for those of y'all that know Southside, that's where the water sewer's playing though. Oh my God. Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, like, let's stop hiding behind the fact that you actually did this to yourself.
Basically.
True.
Why not keep the quarterback that the team has rallied behind and played for? because he had a bad game. We done seen him have bad games and turn around in 5 minutes, win a game for us.
That's
to make you forget all about the bad game, the bad aspect of the game
this,
that he done had.
But this is a crazy thing.
But then you don't know that you're in playoff position, and if you lose this game, you're out. You had to find that out from a reporter.
I mean, what makes it so bad, we all saw this coming 2 weeks ago. I mean, when they were teeing off on Heineke, and when the reports was talking about, well, we're going to make a decision, when you said that, you just threw your season away. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, I think we both said it that day.
Exactly.
I mean, if there was ever a fireable offense, it had to been that. And I've always been caveat.
Well, you've seen two of them that week. With Harbaugh.
Oh.
Yeah, he coached a terrible game against the Horned Frogs. And then you turn around and see Riverboat Ron do what he always does. Bet the house on the wrong players.
Now, see, this is the thing I got a problem with watching. Now, those young, Roma and I have been going, even before Roma came on the show, which I appreciate you finally, you know, coming on here. He always get on me and talk about leave the Washington Commanders alone. Stop talking about your football team. And I granted you that. I gave you that. But I said, I'll leave your team alone. But when it comes to Carson Wentz, you gotta give me that one. I want all the smoke for Carson Wentz, and you know the reason why. He used to be our quarterback.
I mean, I give it to you. I mean,
when I saw him initially coming.
3 teams, 3 years.
When he was leaving the coast and y'all made a trade for him, I told you right then that was y'all season.
Yeah, we gave up too much draft capital. Even if it is third round picks or whatever, those are the rounds that you find the gems that you need.
Right. Like now, think about this. This is where I'm going with. Think about this. Had y'all just left well enough alone.
Mm-hmm.
Not draft Carson Wentz, let Taylor Heineke be your star
Exactly.
I thought that going into this year.
Where would y'all be right now? Taylor Heineke, what would this division look like?
4 teams going into the playoffs.
What would this division look like I would say it like this. I would give y'all this much. Y'all would have swept us if y'all had Taylor Heineke at quarterback for this entire. Y'all would have swept us. It wouldn't have been no split. That's how close that game was, that first meeting, and how it was the second meeting. I'd have gave y'all that. Y'all would have been unequivocally all 4 teams in the NFC East been into the playoffs. That would have, the mix would have been ugly. It would have been ugly. All 4 teams
mm-hmm.
in the playoffs. I honestly think that somehow, some way, somebody was paid off. This was point shaving at its worst.
Oh, jeez.
You got the season on the line and you start Carson Wentz. Somebody should have been fired on the spot.
They should have been fired 2 weeks ago.
What? Playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, when a reporter asked him the question and the look on his face was like, really? Are you kidding?
He said, oh, no, we're not eliminated yet. We have to win.
No, y'all gone. Green
Bay.
Yeah,
the reporter said, well,
Y'all lost to Jackson.
Green Bay, you needed Green Bay to lose, and Green Bay beat Minnesota. Y'all eliminated. He was like, what?
Yeah, because y'all
playoffs.
Y'all lost to Green Bay, right?
No, we
actually beat them.
We lost to Detroit.
That's right.
That's the one that hurt.
Yeah, Detroit, and what about Jacksonville?
We beat them too.
We beat them the first opening.
Yeah, y'all beat them the first. It was another loss that I would have gave y'all as a win if y'all had Taylor Heineke. I gave y'all us. Y'all lost to some.
I think Cleveland was another one too.
I got it.
Well, yeah, now. I'm talking about before that game.
Oh, whoa.
The Titans game and the Minnesota game.
And those are the ones that we actually had the wins.
Yeah, that's right.
We're actually winning at the time.
Y'all would have won the Vikings game.
And the Carolina game.
Y'all would have been right there in the thick of it. We would not know who would have been in
the number one. Take that back. The Carolina game was a preseason game, so I take that back. But the Detroit game, the Tennessee game.
The Tennessee and Minnesota were the two ones that we should have had. That would have given us, what, nine?
And the Colts.
And the Giants, too.
The Colts game was scary. And Heineke saved us in that game.
That's right.
And people forgot about that.
That's right. Yeah, that would have been a scary little division. So I say all that to say this. This team is in the middle of an overhaul, but it is not as bad as it looks. This is a good roster that just needs a good coaching staff. I would give Washington that. When they get a good coaching staff together... Of course, new ownership. And a new stadium. Let's not go there because I'm not going to that one y'all got built right now. If y'all could get me to go to a football game, it will not be in that one. When I saw that sewage pipe bust, that was a wrap for me. I don't care how well you fix it.
Southside.
Yeah, they had Southside net on FedEx Field that day. No, not me. Y'all can have it. Y'all can have all of it.
So I hear that y'all playing hurt Sunday.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts has to play. I'm not really a fan of it, but I am. Because let's just be honest. Jalen Hurts could have played. He could have played against New Orleans, but the thing was, there was still a little bit of discomfort. And while we got this little cushion, we wanted to rest him as much as possible.
Yeah, and then you blew your good seeding of the pick.
And see, and I...
Oh, it's not over with yet.
And I told you last week, that was a trap game, too.
Yes, it was. And, yes, I got to eat some crow because I could have sworn that Gardner Minshew was going to play a little bit, just a tad bit better than what we saw. He played God off. That was not the same Gardner Minshew that played against the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, no, that was...
That was not. Gardner Minshew against the Dallas Cowboys letting the ball fly. He didn't care. He was trusting his receivers. Now, Gardner Minshew against New Orleans Saints looked like a deer caught in headlights. He held the ball on too long, and he didn't trust nobody. He had wide open guys, and instead of letting the ball go, he was getting sacked. And when he did let the ball go, it was just the wrong decision. We saw the wrong Gardner Minshew against New Orleans Saints. So we deserve to get punched in the mouth that day. We deserve to get punched in the mouth that way.
You know what makes it so bad? Because
let me find out Gardner Minshew point shave. I'm gonna shave that mustache off. No.
But it was like
there's
it was
be some
so
more
close.
Shaving than that.
I was about this close to actually running the table for the first time last week. The only game that tripped me up was a Carolina-Tampa Bay game, and Carolina actually had the lead, but yet Tom Brady comes back. By the time I turned the channel with my Fire Stick, it was already over. And I'm thinking like, okay. I think I was going to maybe lose a couple of them. But when everything else worked out in my favor, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm running 14 wins. I'm thinking, all right, you know, and then with the Buffalo, you know, the Monday night game and all. And since we never really counted that one at all. And I'm sitting there thinking like, looking back, if Carolina had one job, first time ever, undefeated, running the table, but it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, I feel the same once I get to 10 wins. If I get 10 wins in your pick'em league, I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
I have had a bad run as of late, but I think I did pretty good last week.
Yeah, so I think almost everybody had at least 10.
So hopefully this week I'm a little more rational. I made a Facebook post last night. After I had what was called a tropical screwdriver.
But oh, no. Yeah. Y'all was the first one I saw on the feed.
Yeah. And I had the 49ers over the Raiders, which I was right.
And I'm sitting there thinking like, like you're starting off wrong already. I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm sitting there thinking I should have called you right on the spot. Like, bruh. You saw it off wrong, right out the gate.
If y'all don't know what a tropical screwdriver is, it is it's what called 99 pineapples. Yeah, see, I got a mat I got a mouse mat that has a 99s on it, and I'm showing Roma what I was drinking, right? I had this 99 pineapple, a shot of Svedka vodka, and some cranberry juice.
That was a headache waiting to happen.
Oh, my God.
No, but I feel good, though. I will take, if the worst that happens, and if I get the 49s mixed up with the Kansas City cheese, that is a very good drink. If that's the worst that happened.
They played last week.
Exactly. So that's how good the drink was.
Okay. And speaking of the Raiders, you see, Devontae Adams, he's not really, he ain't gonna flake on the team if they trade Derek Carr.
Yeah, I saw that. He said, well, just keep me in loop with the quarterbacks. Well, he said, look, get somebody in here that can throw me the ball. I'm at home. I'm near my family. I'm getting paid a good amount of money. Yes, make no mistake about it. The only reason why I'm here is because of Derek Carr. But let's just call spade
a
spade.
He was a Raiders fan growing up.
Yeah, he was a Raiders fan growing up. But let's call spade a spade. Derek Carr was trash. This was a trash year for him and an improvement year for him.
But you got, For the most part, isn't it?
I can't put this on nobody else but Derek Carr because he knew going in.
But look how many different systems he had to learn over the last 3 to 4 years, maybe. And he done did